52 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks. Republicans running for president in 2024 will hit the debate stage again in a few hours in Miami without the party's frontrunner. CBS's Christian Benavides has a preview.
The state's governor, Ron DeSantis, former New Jersey governor, Chris Christie, former South Carolina governor, Nikki Haley, Senator Tim Scott, and entrepreneur, Vivek Ramaswamy, are all set to spar on foreign and domestic issues. The candidates are debating for the first time since the outbreak of war between Israel and Hamas, presenting an opening for Haley, who also served as ambassador to the U.N.
Haley's been gaining ground in the primary race lately. New York prosecutors say it's obvious Ivanka Trump was involved in her family's fraud scheme after questioning her for hours today in New York. State Attorney General Letitia James.
Ivanka Trump was cordial. She was disciplined. She was controlled. And she was very courteous. But her testimony raises some questions with regards to its credibility.
Ivanka denies this. Israel's defense minister says its military has reached the heart of Gaza City and they are tightening the noose on Hamas as the terror group loses its grip on northern Gaza. Here's CBS's Skylar Henry.
Israeli troops are pushing further into Gaza City in an effort to dismantle the terror group and to retrieve more than 240 hostages.
Investigators busted a high-profile sex ring in two states.
Prosecutors say hundreds bought sex services through the sophisticated operation that had two websites and brothels in Massachusetts and Virginia. Acting Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Josh Levy.
This commercial sex ring was built on secrecy and exclusivity, catering to a wealthy and well-connected clientele.
CBS's Wendy Gillette says that clientele ranged from lawmakers to military officers and government contractors. They use luxury apartments as brothels. The FDA just gave Eli Lilly the green light to start marketing a new weight loss drug. Here's reporter Alexander Tin.
Zepbound should be available by the end of the year, according to Eli Lilly, and might be priced cheaper than its competitors from Novo Nordisk, which are branded as Ozempic and Wegovy. There's also some research to suggest that Eli Lilly's drug might be more effective than Novo Nordisk's drug, though full head-to-head studies haven't been published.
Has named Taylor Swift as its Artist of the Year. She had 65 songs that hit its global daily top 100 this year after the pop star launched her massive Eras Tour and dropped two re-recorded albums. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden holds a slim lead over Donald Trump in the latest Marquette University Law School poll. Biden leads Trump 50% to 48% among registered voters. That's well within the survey's margin of error. But the Marquette poll also has Republicans Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley leading Biden in Wisconsin. 42% say they have a favorable view of Biden, only 37% for Trump. Members of the nurses' union at UW Health plan to deliver 100 pages of safety violations to the state health department. Union members say most of the issues stem from understaffing. Officials with UW Health say that patient safety is not a bargaining chip for the union. Hospital officials say they are working collaboratively with the union to increase staffing. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Mets say they were surprised, too. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Counsell says he decided to leave the Brewers because he needed a new challenge. Counsell named the new manager of the Cubs at the baseball managers' meetings in Scottsdale. Mets president David Stearns was asked if he was surprised Counsell picked Chicago and not New York.
I didn't see that coming.
You know, I'll say, look, I love Craig. Craig and I are going to be close, hopefully, for a long time. I think he's very good at what he does. And throughout this whole process, you know, what I told Craig is he needs to make the right choice for himself. off.
NFL, the Packers head to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers Sunday. Matt LaFleur says that wide receiver Christian Watson did not suffer a concussion in their win Sunday. The Rams announced that they released quarterback Brett Rippon and signed Carson Wentz. College football, the Badgers are at home this Saturday against Northwestern. Luke Fickell on what he told his players after losing in Indiana for the first time in over 20 years.
What I laid into a little bit after the game was something that I feel like, you know, at times it's okay to be pissed.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A gradual clearing for tonight, a low in the mid-30s as the wind picks up, some gusts higher than 30 miles an hour. Sunshine, windy tomorrow, gusts to near 40 miles an hour, high in the upper 40s. Clouds and around 40 on Friday. It's 42 right now.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey, we're gonna have a good day.
This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Helen Brand. Let me start out by saying I have some of the top caregiver advocates in the state of Wisconsin on our show tonight. You will not want to miss what they have to say about what is happening at a state and federal level to support family caregivers. Joining me tonight will be Janet Zander, Advocacy and Public Policy Coordinator at Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging and Resources, and Beth Fields, Assistant Professor at University of Wisconsin and Civic Media's very own Pizza Box Mics. I can't believe I stumbled on Pizza Box Mics with all of those long titles I'm trying to pronounce. And Pizza Box Mics will be joining me tonight, who has not only worked in the direct care field for many years, but was also a caregiver for his mother. Before I get started, though, I just want to say happy National Caregiver Month to all the dedicated, hardworking caregivers, past or present, for doing what you do to take care of those that you love and support each and every day. Bill Clinton had made a proclamation to caregivers back in the late 1990s during National Family Caregiver Month, and every president, I am happy to report, has done the same. This is a time to not only honor and thank the family caregivers that you know that give so much support to their loved ones, often at the cost of their own physical, financial, and emotional well-being, but it is also time to raise awareness on the fact that there are over 50 million caregivers in America providing over $600 billion a year in unpaid labor. With that being said, let's jump right in. I'm Liza Helen Brand, and you're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. And my first guest with me tonight is Beth Fields, Assistant Professor at the University of Wisconsin, Madison. So, Beth, thank you for joining me tonight. I gave you a list of questions that I was going to ask you, and my first one isn't even on the list, but don't worry, I'm not throwing you a curveball. I just want to see if we can start out by having you make the connection between the work that you do at UW-Madison and caregiving.
Yeah, thanks, Liza. It's great to be here, and thank you for the opportunity. So I am an occupational therapist and a geriatric health services and caregiving researcher. So my work as an assistant professor is really focused on research-wise trying to find ways to better systematically include family caregivers in systems of care, primarily in the hospital setting. And I also help educate the next generation of occupational therapy clinicians and make sure that they're practicing at the top of their license and including family caregivers.
Wonderful. Thank you for explaining that. And I can't believe I didn't ask you in DC. So that is wonderful work that you are doing. And you're joining me tonight to speak specifically about the CARE Act, something that I know that is near and dear to your heart. What is the CARE Act and why is it essential for family caregivers?
Yeah, so many state legislators have passed the Caregiver Advise, Record, and Enable Act, which is the CARE Act. And this is a state-level policy that requires hospitals to provide patients the opportunity to identify and record the name of a family caregiver, inform that caregiver when the patient's discharge is going to happen, and then provide that caregiver with any information or education on how to help that patient once they're back home. And a total of 45 states and territories now have CARE Act laws in place, which again is really focused on trying to better support family caregivers when their loved ones go into the hospital and as they transition back home.
And you know, when I went to Washington, D.C. last month for the first ever Caregiver Summit, I had the pleasure of doing my Capitol Hill visits with you. And during those visits, you told the personal story of why the CARE Act is important to you. Would you mind telling me again about your personal story with the caregiving?
Yeah, of course. So a few years ago now, my older brother was diagnosed with congestive heart failure when he was admitted to a rural hospital here in Wisconsin because of leg edema. And the fluid quickly reached his lungs, interfering with his breathing. And my brother was moved to an intensive care unit and remained there for nearly 3 weeks, which is a long time.
Wow.
And just 5 days later, he was discharged home. So this experience was extremely traumatic for my family. Throughout his stay, my family received little information about his prognosis or what was going to happen. And most alarming to me is that my brother did not receive the necessary care services or referrals to really help him establish a healthier lifestyle once he transitioned back home. And my family received no instruction on how to best support him or his condition moving forward. And since then, which is most important that I want to get across, is I firmly believe the CARE Act could potentially help with healthcare costs. My brother's been in and out of the hospital since that first day because of medical complications, which have really driven his healthcare costs up and has impacted not only his own health and quality of life, but my family's as well.
So if the CARE Act was in place, how do you think things would have been different for you personally?
I personally think my family would have learned. So at the time, I wasn't living in Wisconsin. I was in Pennsylvania, so I wasn't there to really advocate for him. So it was my older parents that were there at the bedside with him. And they weren't provided information on what congestive heart failure is. So I think first and foremost, had they been identified when my brother was admitted to the hospital and documented in his chart, more clinicians would have maybe been able to know that they needed to receive more education before he was discharged home.
Wow. I can't believe that this is still going on and happening and that we don't have something in place. I'm Liza Hellenbrand, and you're listening to The Empowered Caregiver. I'm joined here today with Assistant Professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Beth Fields, to talk about the CARE Act. And I know, Beth, that you talk all day, every day, in a professional setting. So I'm going to have a little fun with this. I decided to call you Badass Beth for the amazing work that you're doing. And since we've been talking about the CARE Act, which requires hospitals, and let me know if I'm wrong on this, repeating what you've said and what I've heard in the past, this requires hospitals to identify the patient's family caregiver, notify them of the hospital discharge or transfer, and make sure they understand and give them hands-on instruction on how to do at-home care once they get back home. Am I summing it up?
Yeah, that was a great summary, Liza. Identification, notification, and education is what the CARE Act is all about.
I love it. And I love rhymes way better than I love all the acronyms. So thank you for that. So Beth, Wisconsin is unfortunately a little late to the party on this issue. We are one of only like 9 states that doesn't have the CARE Act in place. Is that correct?
I believe today, I've been following AARP. I believe we're up to a total of 45 states and territories, 42 states.
Okay. So,
and then surrounding territories. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we're bottom of the chart there. What have you been able to learn from the states that have their act together, no pun intended, and have already passed the CARE Act?
Yeah, so before moving to Wisconsin, as I mentioned, I lived in Pennsylvania where the CARE Act went into effect in 2017, and I was part of a large team at the University of Pittsburgh and with their health system, UPMC, that looked at compliance and impact of the law, and we found that the health system organization and really the capability of their electronic health record, where all the information is documented for a patient, was really instrumental in compliance efforts. And we actually published some information on how health systems and what they should be thinking about if they're going to implement the CARE Act. There's also been other evidence, Liza, that's been done outside of my team. So a meta-analysis of 11 randomized controlled trials, and randomized controlled trials are typically what people refer to as the gold standard in research, that found that the integration of family caregivers into the discharge planning process significantly reduced the risk of hospital readmission compared to when caregivers were not included in the care of older adult patients that were discharged home. So that's huge, because readmission rates are what drive healthcare costs up, not only for the patients and their families, but the health systems as a whole. Hospitals don't want to get dinged with readmission rates. And then AARP has also really been the champion for this policy, and they completed a national scan of the CARE Act implementation, and they found that during their site visits that hospital staff consistently reported that family caregivers appeared to be more engaged and confident when taking the patient home because what they thought was the CARE Act.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you know what you're doing, it would obviously help. I can't even imagine. And, you know, I think about someone like myself that gets queasy at the sight of any blood, or I would not be the person for the job. I really wouldn't. And to be given a leaflet or a pamphlet and sent on my merry way, or our merry way, I couldn't imagine that that would end well, to be honest. And I know that there's situations like your brother, where it could have ended better. You know, I know that you've probably heard a lot of stories along the way. Is there anything that or any one particular one that comes to mind that you've heard out in your advocacy or in the work that you do that really also just reiterates the need for this?
Oh, Liza, I mean, being a caregiving researcher, I hear stories all the time that really just demonstrate that our family caregivers need help. They're doing more complex medical and nursing tasks than ever before because advances in healthcare and technology, and are aging longer. So I can't just say one story comes to mind. There's a handful of stories. The numbers are really there, and I want our state legislators to know that this is important.
Well, thank you so much, Beth, for the work that you do and for joining me. I know that you're out of state on vacation with some family time, so thank you. Up next, we are going to be joined with Janet Zander, another awesome advocate, and Civic Media's own Pizza Box Mike.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Joining me next is another badass advocate, Janet Zander, Advocacy and Public Policy Coordinator at Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging and Resources, Inc. There may even be an Inc. on that.
There's an Inc.
That someone in the organization said no. I think we can add a little more to that. Let's just throw on an ink. Okay, so Janet, thank you so much for joining me tonight. There is an event happening at the Capitol next week that I believe is being put on by AARP and others, and I would love to give the microphone to you so you can tell us what is going on and what we can do to get involved.
Excellent. Glad to help out. So advocacy organizations like AARP like to have what we call Hill Days. These are days where we take folks up to the state capitol and give them an opportunity to share information and requests directly with their state legislators. So AARP Wisconsin is holding their advocate summit on Monday, November 13th and Tuesday, November 14th. Like most of these events, the first day will be some training and just getting to know one another and getting to know how to be a good advocate. And then on day two, they'll head to the Capitol and they'll be meeting with legislators, dropping off materials. And we decided to use that event to also piggyback and have a CARE Act press conference on Tuesday morning to help us lift that up using utilizing the AARP redshirt volunteers as well.
And the CARE Act, as we mentioned, is something that we're trying to get in place here in Wisconsin that requires hospitals to identify a caregiver and let them know when they're going to be discharged or transferred, and then provide proper education for the caregiver so that they can care for their loved one once they get home. Actually, Janet, there's some positive news on that front, isn't there, about Medicaid and getting some of this help that we need? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure, I'd love to. Yeah, the timing is really good for this press conference. Recently, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS as most of us refer to them, finalized a rule that would allow practitioners to bill Medicare for training caregivers. So up until now, it's been one of those things that I think many practitioners recognize is important to do, but there wasn't a way to compensate for the time that they're going to spend doing that. As of January 2024, that rule goes into effect and they will actually have a billing code that will not only enable them to be reimbursed, but encourage them to take that extra step and train caregivers.
That is wonderful. You know, I know that there's some pushback on the CARE Act, believe it or not, but that is a wonderful thing to have in place to say, hey, look, money's not the issue. We've got this code. You can bill for it. So that is great news. And I also wanted to share, because I know that you are on the lookout for some caregivers. Have you lined up personal caregivers, or should we put a shout out right now to see if we can drum up some stories?
We're looking for some actual folks who can come to the Capitol on Tuesday morning and be there by 9 o'clock in the morning. So it's not an easy ask. I've got some of my other caregiver advocate peers actively recruiting. Beth is going to be joining us in the morning as well. So we're still looking for caregivers, you know, whether it's somebody caring for a spouse, a parent, an adult with disabilities, a child with special needs. We welcome them all, and we have yet to confirm those other speakers.
So I will put out the request right now that if you believe the CARE Act should be passed, if you have a personal story about how things could have went better, feel free to email me, liza@civicmedia.us, and I can forward you to Janet to make that connection. I cannot emphasize this enough. I am fairly new into the whole world of advocacies, but your stories matter. Your stories are what makes the difference. So we need those storytellers to come up and tell the legislators why this is important. So Janet, I also had the pleasure of spending time with you in Washington, D.C. at the first annual Caregiver Summit. And our time at Capitol Hill was part of the Act on Raise campaign. I know that we could talk about that for hours, but I have to say, first and foremost, you've been such a lifesaver to me because I am new to a lot of this. Your wisdom has been priceless. So thank you for that. But could you just give a quick recap on the Raise Family Caregiver Act and then why we were there to act on it?
Sure. Raise Family Caregiver Act was passed a couple of years ago. The administration has actively been working on laying out a strategy to better support family caregivers across the nation. They have an advisory council that's putting together plans, and they've developed a federal plan and a state plan and local initiatives that we can do that would better support caregivers. The CARE Act is part of one of those state plan initiatives, and we know that right now there are 15 federal agencies busy implementing 350 different actions at the federal level.
Wow. Sounds like they're just like being like a mom up there, right? Just working on 350 different things at once. That is awesome. And so there was also a few state issues, or there was one state issue that I also wanted you to be able to share with people because I think it was important, and I'm so grateful you educated me on it. And that is the reimbursement for volunteers.
Yeah, this is a really important federal issue and one that's near and dear to my heart. I've been working in the Aging Network for over 35 years and have personal experience. My father-in-law had end-stage renal disease, and so he was one of many folks who needed transportation for dialysis. And what we discovered is as our volunteer drivers are taxed for any reimbursement they receive for the gas and the maintenance of their cars, et cetera, if they receive over 14 cents a mile. That rate was set by Congress in 1997.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know if you can ride a bike for 14 cents a mile at this point, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, anybody doing business mileage currently is getting 65.5 cents per mile. The IRS lifts that up annually when they look at what are the inflationary costs, and they make the adjustments. Congress has not looked at that since 1997, and yet volunteer drivers have the same vehicles, the same kind of insurance, and the same wear and tear on their cars, and are volunteering their time. And so as we have difficulty recruiting volunteers because they don't want to have this reimbursement taxed, we want to incentivize those volunteers to come back to us and really continue to offer us that valuable service.
Yeah. Getting taxed on volunteering. What a wonderful concept. Come on, folks. We can do better. You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver. And after this short break, I will be back with Pizza Box Mike.
Oh, CBS News brief. The U.S. launches an airstrike on a weapons site in Syria linked to Iranian-backed militants. The Pentagon says it's in retaliation for a growing number of attacks on U.S. troops in the region. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland says Israel has also conducted airstrikes in Syria.
There is this concern, I think, probably in the highest levels of the Biden administration, that these particular strikes by the United States may actually bring on further escalation in this conflict.
Five candidates take part in a third GOP primary debate tonight. CBS News manager of surveys, Fred Backus, with results of a CBS News YouGov survey.
One thing Republican primary voters don't want to hear about is Donald Trump, who won't be attending tonight's debate. Just 14% think it's important to hear about their criticisms of him. And this is true even among voters who are currently supporting other candidates.
The Texas Department of Public Safety says eight people have died in a South Texas car crash while police chased a driver suspected of smuggling migrants. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The bill to use public money to make repairs at American Family Field is expected to go to the full Senate next week. Two legislative committees approved an amended version of the bill on Wednesday. While it is not known if the new bill has enough votes to pass in the Senate, Governor Evers says he would sign it if it made its way to his desk. The Waukesha School District wants a federal court to dismiss a lawsuit filed by a former teacher who was fired earlier this year. Melissa Temple lost her job as a first-grade dual-language teacher in July. She claims the district retaliated against her for speaking out on social media about the song Rainbowland being cut from a first-grade concert. Among other things, the school district says Temple was airing a personal grievance. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A gradual clearing for tonight, a low in the mid-30s as the wind picks up, some gusts higher than 30 miles an hour. Sunshine, windy tomorrow, gusts to near 40 miles an hour. High in the upper 40s. Clouds and around 40 on Friday. It's 39 right now.
Matt Flynn Direct.
When it comes to shutting down the government, what I'm afraid is Mike Johnson comes in, he'll say, real smooth, I don't want to shut down the government. Here's a budget. And you'll go, hey, wait a minute. That has cuts in child care, Social Security. And he'll smile. He's sort of like Scott Walker. People who are unnervingly polite behind that kind of facade, they have a lot of inner weasels. They have too many inner weasels, quite frankly.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekdays from 2 until 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. I am joined now by Civic Media's very own Pizza Box Mike from Outside the Pizza Box, who does a show every Friday from 7 to 8 p.m. You can listen to it here or stream it anywhere on the Civic Media app. Mike, before we talk caregiving, I'm going to allow you to give a shameless plug. Tell us a little bit more about your show and why the heck it's called Outside the Pizza Box.
Yeah, well, it's because I decided early on, I think it was February 15th, that occupying the Capitol to defend democracy and defend those that were less fortunate than me. And Ian's Pizza Boxes came to the Capitol, and I started making signs, and that's how that all came about.
So you were making protest signs with pizza boxes.
Yeah.
And you became known as Pizza Box Mike because you were there every day, a lot?
Yeah, I stayed overnight for a couple weeks, whatever it was.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned one of your big causes was the fight for 15, which goes hand in hand. Well, it goes with caregiving, right? I mean, you just told me earlier, a paid direct care worker, the, you know, correct name for it always seems to change, but basically paid caregiver for 30 some years.
Yeah. Started in college. I got tricked. I told you. The guy in my dorm said, "Hey, you want to make some money? This guy, yeah, it's easy. You know, he's in a wheelchair. You got to help him get dressed and stuff like that. But then he, you know, he goes to class himself and everything. But you got to get up. It's like at 5 a.m. because he has an early class." And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." You know, and I was kind of like a lot of other people that were stupid. I drank back then.
And oh, no.
So that first night I was waking up, still from the night before, and it was 5 minutes to 5, and it's snowing.
Oh, no.
And I run across the other side of campus, and I get there, and here's this gentleman who's, 6'7" and weighed 260 pounds. And only after I got there did I find out that I had to, my first day included a what's called a BP program, bowel program.
Oh, okay. Good morning.
And I'm like, "Wow, I'm going to kill that dude. I mean, I can't. There's no way I'm going to leave this guy like this,
okay,
right?"
6'7", and I know that you don't have a problem saying this because you're a wrestler, so they always throw, and you're a man, you're not a woman, so we hide all this stuff. But what is your height and weight?
Probably about, I mean, it was 5'5", and maybe 130 pounds.
Oh, my gosh. I was bigger than you. Okay, so 5 a.m, you're taking a bowel movement training, and 30 years later,
yeah,
there you are.
I mean, well, and that's how the fight for 15 came about. One thing about doing that after I left college, and I worked for a number of students there, and then when, like, their workers, I was also a resident assistant.
Sure.
And so when everybody went on vacation and there were people in wheelchairs that were there, I'd work for 2 or 3 or 4 different guys.
Oh, wow.
But the thing is, you don't get into it thinking that you're going to be making friends with all these guys.
Right.
And sitting around telling jokes and doing things together. And so it, you know, that's what I mean. It turned into something like, well, yeah, you know, first of all, who enjoys seeing me at 5 a.m, you know? I might want to stick with that, you know, since somebody appreciates that. And then after I left college, you know, I met somebody that, you know, had just suffered an accident and was one of the fastest recoveries to get out of the hospital with the injury he had and needed help. And then it all started. And the thing about this CARE Act is the entire time that I've worked for people, their family members are powerless.
Right.
And so the empowered caregiver, I'm like, wow, this is perfect, you know, how this works out. But yeah, for all those years, they couldn't work and get paid, you know,
right.
And they did a lot of work. So they were there, the volunteer thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you can't get paid for it. And then it, over the years it developed that, yeah, you know, part-time they could get paid for doing certain things, but for when they get out of the hospital, when they need IVs or they need something like that, we didn't even do that at the beginning of my career. That was, you know, you had to have nurses come in.
Sure.
But over the years that changed and we received training, and then, you know, like the hospital would keep us informed because I worked for organizations. They were nonprofit, but they were ahead of the game as far as a lot of the other options that you would have for home health care,
mm-hmm.
where they're more. Well, let's just say, you know, today when I went through the Capitol and saw all these lobbyists.
Right.
Well,
and you know what? I have to say this because you and I can talk about it. The women that I had on earlier can't.
Mm-hmm.
And why we don't have the CARE Act is hospital lobbyists, the hospital association.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're saying, oh, we do that.
Yeah, well, no, they don't. And I mean, UW nurses don't have a union. Don't get me started.
But right, right.
And that's how I got into the fight for 15. I was, you know, doing one of my preaching in the rotunda about, you know, how would you like one of your loved ones, you know, having someone come into your home and take care of your loved one for $10 an hour, you know, do you feel safe with having a person that,
yeah. How does that saying go? You excluded, right. You excluded, but you get what you pay for, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of bad, but yeah, the fact that the families didn't have any say, you know, in a lot of the things that, you know, that they should be to help a family member. And you talk about the stress and the strain. And
yeah. Well, and, you know, Beth made a great point that her parents didn't even really know or understand what their son had.
Right.
You know, and, okay, thank God for Google, but that's not always there. That's not always great information. To be honest, if you're talking about medical stuff, don't Google it.
You know, right.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I just, the CARE Act, where was I going with the CARE Act? Other than we need to get it passed, it's going to help save lives. I mean, do you have any personal stories of people that you saw their parents or their loved ones just struggle?
Yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of, you know, parents watching their one of their children,
right?
You know, survive a serious spinal cord injury, and then, you know, having to be there their whole life, you know, and being the caregiver.
Yeah.
And most of them, like, you know, I would for my mom, or my mom did for me when I
right.
got sick.
Well, right.
We didn't mind doing that, but if there isn't a support network there,
right.
or for in my experiences, there's not enough people in the labor force because there's not enough pay. I mean,
right.
I had 30 some years experience, and I think my highest pay was $11.60 or something like that. And I was working 60 or 70 hours, but I had to work different programs. Yes. And you always had to have another job because you weren't making enough money.
And
or you had
no,
two or three clients.
No benefits?
No. I mean, well, expensive benefits, you know, to pay for health insurance was really high.
I can imagine. And, you know, let me ask you about this. I read that when it comes to the great exodus of paid caregivers, it's not only the common sense, the crappy pay and hard emotional, physical work conditions. It's also the management and the bureaucracy itself is a large part of why a lot of people leave. And I don't want you to name names of care agencies, but what is your experience with the agency themselves? Did you feel supported, trained, you know, heard?
Yeah, I was kind of lucky, but I spent a number of years in two different well-known nonprofit in Madison, in Dane County. And I never had bad experiences with the people, the organization, any of the management. I did with how powerless we were as workers, as well as family members. I can't give you all the details of what I mean by that.
Sure.
For example, working too many hours and there's supposed to be laws to protect you from as a worker to not work too many hours straight.
Right.
But when it involves the health care of the person that you're taking care of, I mean, you find a way to work around that. And then you have to bill to a different agency so you're not over hours on another, that's only funded for this much. And it's really kind of it's demeaning as hell is what it is.
And I've got to only imagine that there's little support for you as the paid caregiver. I mean, by the agency. Where I'm going with this is caregiver burnout is almost a given for people that stick with this. I can't imagine that they have a support group, a support, resources for you guys for your own well-being.
That is, in fact, what happened to me the last few years of my being in that industry was fewer workers, more clients, bills going up. I mean, you got to keep working what I feared happened. I thought, I'm doing this working with people with physical limitations and eventually I'm going to need help because something's going to happen to me. And lo and behold, it did. I mean, I'd have to say that the heavy stress load I took for the last 4 or 5 years might have contributed to my illnesses.
I would imagine, and I want to talk to you a little bit more about that if we shift gears. You also were the primary caregiver of your mother? Is that what you're talking about? Or your own personal? Well, I know you had your own health challenges.
I shared the house with my mom, and I would have to say that she was more of a caregiver than I was. Going through cancer treatment, and she took me to the hospital a few times, emergency room. Without that, I probably wouldn't have made it. And it went both ways. But
right.
When my mom unfortunately collapsed this last year or this year, the first thing I thought was, I always told my mom, however long you want to stay here, Mom, I will always be here. You know what I mean? And that way, I knew she knew if something happened or she needed me to be there, I was going to be there.
And can I ask, how old was your mom, approximately, if you can't remember, when you had your cancer?
Was like 77 or 78.
So 70.
79, yeah.
Yeah. That's just...
And she was still my mom and my best friend, and she took care of me. And yeah, I was very lucky.
That is wonderful that she was there for you and that you were there for her. And
I shoveled the driveway so she could go to church.
You know what? Okay, that makes sense.
Hey, man, early in the morning, do you really need to go to church, Mom? If she wanted to go, I made sure that I got the driveway done. But for the first couple of years I was there, I was limited physically to what I could do. I couldn't mow the yard.
Yeah.
I couldn't, I couldn't shovel. But now I'm back to He-Man strength again. I'm like, 125 pounds again.
Wonderful. I'm so happy for you, Pizza Box Mike. I'm going to pick up this conversation about Pizza Box Mike's own personal caregiving story once we return.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The delusions of grandeur have come to an end, as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence. You know, people didn't care for him so much. I don't know why. You know, January 6th, they just wanted to hang him at the gallows, Dom.
I mean, at least they knew his name. You know, there's no such thing as bad PR, Crudy.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. I am joined here today with Pizza Box Mike, who hosts Outside the Pizza Box every Friday from 7 to 8. Did I get that right?
Yeah, we got the same time slot.
All
yeah.
Right, there you go. So
we must be doing really good.
I guess that's where they put the best. That's where they put the best of the best. So I want to make sure, actually you want to make sure, we both want to make sure that we end this on a positive, happy note, because there is no hiding or denying, or it's obvious. Being a paid caregiver is hard work, and you do it because you love the people that you're with and the work that you're doing, and you know that it's meaningful, you know that it's changing lives, and you know that people rely on you. What am I missing?
And you develop relationships and friendships and basically family, and they tell you that, you know, you can't have these kind of relationships. You can't be friends. They're your boss. But there's no way to control that. And again, if somebody's happy to see you as their caretaker and mm-hmm. they don't have too many complaints, you know.
Right.
Because there's always going to, you know, I was never perfect. I got better as time went on. And then again, you know, it kind of at the end, but
you got
it's a
better?
Rewarding. It's rewarding. It's fun. Okay.
It is. And I have to say, you got better as time got on. I'm going to pat myself on the back. I started out great. So I wanted to just share this story because I think it falls in line with what we're talking about. And it's hilarious. So yesterday I had total crappy day. Started out the day with having to pay a $500 insurance deductible at 7 a.m. And that was probably the highlight of the day, to be honest. All went downhill from there. But I work at MSCR, and I support people with developmental disabilities, actually whatever disability, in various programs. And so I was grumpy as all could be. I got there. I saw my crew. You know, they're just, we're loving on each other. And half of them went into the gym. We thought we were going to do bowling, but the sound was really cool. And one of the ladies started singing. So I said, let's do karaoke. So I have a blind woman singing and an autistic man just smiling, swaying back and forth and then there was another autistic man that was playing the drums on yoga blocks, and this is all to the sound of music, by the way. he's playing the drums to the sound of music. And then there was a woman with Down syndrome who informed me that she was a professional ballet dancer.
Right.
And so it was like the highlight, well, of this week, to speak, you know, you're topping it. I loved our time together, so you're topping it. But there's so many of those great stories, right? There's so many of those moments that just make your day.
I only, one time through my whole career as a caretaker, worked with children that were developmentally disabled, physically disabled, no speech communication, but communication through laughter and touch. I mean, that was pretty cool. right? It is. To make someone laugh and to get in trouble from the person that, you know, the adoptive mother, because I was making her son laugh too much while she was trying to talk on the phone. You know, come on, we're having a good time here. But yeah, so that was a great experience as well. But very, you know, it's very trying because you're, first of all, you love the people for what they're doing to make sure that these children have a quality of life. And then, you know, some of them graduate from high school, you know, you see they're still going 15 years later. And then you see the obituary someday and you're like, think of the years that they got because there were caretakers out there.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Now, if people were paid what the real value of what that is, that would take a lot of stress and strain off everybody, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. I can't wait to have you back. And I have a lot of other great people that I'm going to have the opportunity to speak to this month. Next week, I'm going to be talking with the Down Syndrome Association of Wisconsin president about their ThinkAbility program, which supports hiring people with disabilities. I also hope to speak with the director of the multi-award-winning documentary Unseen, How We Are Failing Parent Caregivers and Why It Matters. I can't wait to talk to her about that. And then on November 22nd, I will be speaking with PhD Regina Lark, author of Emotional Labor, Why a Woman's Work is Never Done and What to Do About It. What to do about that's going to change my life. Okay. And then to finish out November, I will be speaking with Kevin Cullen, if I'm saying his last name right, who is the Policy Initiatives Advisor for the State of Wisconsin Department of Health and Human Services. Why do state employees have such long titles? Sheesh. And he's going to be talking about kind of what we're talking about today, the paid caregiver crisis and what Wisconsin is rolling out to do to address it. So I just also want to mention, if you know an outstanding caregiver that you would like to nominate for National Family Caregiver Month, then slide into my DM or email me at Liza@CivicMedia. I would love to be able to give them a shout out on air and to send them a caregiver gift box. You know, Nate, I'm having a little nerves about just saying slide them into my DM. That's not like a Netflix and chill.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, not
okay.
At all.
Thank God. Okay, because I didn't want to put that offer out there. So, yes, let's nominate some phenomenal caregivers. I got one standing right next to me. Any final thoughts, Pizza Box Mike? What are three things that you would tell a family caregiver?
I'd say go to the Capitol when they're having legislation.
Amen.
On these issues.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, why does that always happen? I was going to pay a parking ticket. That's why and by the way, I filled the meter with an hour just in case, you know, I don't want to get another parking ticket while I'm going to pay. Right. And I'm walking through and I'm like, man, look at all the lawyers and lobbyists here. And look, it has to do with healthcare or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, lobbyists that are there for when they talk about, well, I'm a lobbyist for disabilities. And I'm like, yeah, for, you know, profiting off disabilities, and then they walk away. So, you know, and that's how you get involved, man. You know, being truthful and looking the bad guy in the eye and making him look at the floor and walk away is the best way to get involved.
Well, I love the work that you've done and that I know that you'll continue to do. And thank you so much for spending time with me tonight. Thanks for having me. Yeah, have a great week, everyone. I know that caregiving is hard and difficult, but you got this. Stay tuned to The Empowered Caregiver. Find me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering health care to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.